The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ with Stephen Fleury.
We're going through the New Testament to find the true gospel that Jesus Christ brought from God and the gospel that he preached. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is not what we have heard, a gospel about his person, but the gospel that Jesus preached. Why have you not heard that gospel? And then we're looking also to find out what customs Jesus practiced. He sent us an example that we should follow his steps. Once again, let me remind you, my friends, that Jesus Christ never did one thing, not one thing in his lifetime, that was nailed to the cross.
That's a pretty big statement coming from Herbert Armstrong. Back in the day, his old radio program, The World Tomorrow. What did he preach, Jesus Christ? How did he live? Did he set an example for us to follow in his steps? Well, as you'll see on today's program, there are dozens and dozens of scriptures that say exactly that. He came to show us the way. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. On this program, we carefully examine the only reliable source of information there is about Jesus Christ and his teachings, and that would be the Holy Bible. What was Jesus Christ's life like? What was that example? Well, and we'll go to those scriptures in a moment, but in John 15, it says that he kept the Father's commandments. He kept them perfectly. He didn't deviate away from God's law. One iota. He stayed on course his whole physical life. And then he says, all right, now I've given you students an example that you should follow in this, and this is what will make you happy. There's a proverb that says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But that if you're keeping the commandments, you're going to be happy. God shows us the way. Jesus showed us the way to happiness, joy, abundance, well-being, peace, peace of mind. Look at the fruits of God's Holy Spirit sometime in Galatians 5. Here again, that's another study that we'll have to get into. But as I covered on this program a couple weeks ago, a true Christian is one who follows Jesus Christ's example. That's why it's important to study the life and the teachings of Christ. Because a Christian is a follower of Christ. A Christian looks to Christ. This is from an article Mr. Armstrong wrote back in 1982. He said, God sent his Son into the world to be tempted in all points as we are, human as we are, to prove that a human can, with the help of the Spirit of God, live without sin. To set an example for us that we should follow his steps and live also without sinning. You look at the world around us, you look at all the troubles that we're in, you look at all of the mass shootings, you look at the violence in cities, you look at the hatred between political parties, the division in homes, in families, in nations, in communities. The cause of all that is sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law, 1 John 3 and verse 4. Sin brings curses upon us. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, it says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now, that verse could not be more clear. We've been called to follow the example of Christ. Jesus Christ was totally subjected to the Father's authority, to God the Father's will. We're not here to set our own standard or to decide which verses or scriptures we're going to follow. We do have a decision to make. We do have a choice in the matter, but it's not to decide what's true and what's evil. God has decided that. We have to decide if we're going to go the true way. If we're going to go the excellent way, if we're going to go in the way of Jesus Christ, and most of mankind is not doing that. A few more verses. Ephesians 4, verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. We need knowledge. We need the know-how. And we need the vision to see where this is leading. To the perfect man, that is Jesus Christ. Verse 15 in that same chapter says that we might grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see where it's leading. God is reproducing himself. Genesis 1 and verse 26. And he's shown us the way in the form of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul says, be you followers of me, even as I follow Christ. Follow me, follow my example, Paul said. And I'm working hard to follow Christ's example, to follow in those steps of Jesus Christ, to be a disciple or a pupil of Jesus Christ or a true Christian. We have to be following that example, that perfect example that he set for us. And notice in John 13, notice what it leads to. Among other things, he says, I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. He's washed the disciples' feet. And then he says, now I want you to do that as well. I've given you an example, and you're going to do it every year at the Passover ceremony, the foot washing example or attitude that we need to humble ourselves, to be servants before not just God, but God's family and even the whole world. To have a humble, contrite, foot-washing attitude where we're willing to serve. Verse 17 says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. But you have to do it. We have to follow the instructions. If we're hearers only and we don't do, James 1 and verse 22 says that we're deceiving ourselves. But do it. Happiness comes from the doing. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. That's Jesus Christ. That's what he taught. This is the teaching of Jesus. John 14, notice this. Verse 3, it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. You see that same scenario in Luke 19, the parable of the pounds. He went, but he's coming again. That's a reference to the second coming of Christ. He says, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. I've shown you the way. I've shown you how to get there too. Just make sure you follow that example, that you follow in that way. Verse 5 says, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? And then verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the way, Thomas. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the door to salvation. No man can come to the Father except through Christ. And of course, it's God who brings us to Christ. John 6 and verse 44, Christ is saying here to the disciples, look, you've seen my example. Now just follow. Follow that example. Follow that way. If you look at the Greek word there for way, it can mean highway, journey, path, or road. So we know the destination if we have vision, and we know the way if we look into the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. But are we going to have the desire, the determination, the drive to go that way? Even when you've got all these pulls of the flesh, even when we're going against our adversary, the devil. Well, that's what it takes to build godly character. It takes help from God. It takes the Holy Spirit of God, God's power. But we have to decide. We're free moral agents. We have to make a decision to go that way. If you look at the way of Christ, as John 14 and verse 6 says, and just do a study through the scriptures on that word way or highway or roadway or whatever you want to call it, the journey, the path. Genesis 3 and verse 24 speaks of the way of the tree of life. In that tree, I mean, God presented Adam and Eve with his way of life. If they would have partaken of that, they could have gone in the direction of God. As it was, they chose the devil's way. And then God cut them off from the tree of life. That's plainly recorded in Genesis 3. And you rarely hear about it. There's verses that talk about going the way of your father. There's verses that talk about going the way of an evil king, going the way of Jeroboam. That was not a good thing. That was a mistake. However, if you're going the way of a righteous king or a righteous father, that's a good thing. You're following a good example. Example is such a powerful tool when it comes to teaching. It's nice that you can have lectures like this, but then you need to see. You need to see, in the case of the Corinthians, you need to see Paul. Paul's going a certain way. Paul risked his life. I mean, he sacrificed for God. And the brethren saw this. And then Paul said, I'm following Christ's example. Now you just follow my example. And if you have the vision to see where all this ends, I mean, it really and truly is, like Mr. Armstrong's book brings out. It's incredible, the incredible human potential. Speaking of books, I want to offer this one on the program today, John's Gospel, The Love of God. I mean, this really does zero in on one gospel of the four, John's, where you can dig into the depth of God's love, of Jesus Christ's love. There's a chapter in there on the Word made flesh and also on how to build the faith of Jesus Christ. Here again, we're to follow that way, to follow that righteous example. Proverbs 1 and verse 6 speaks of the way of righteousness. There is a way, and it's defined in Scripture. Proverbs 4 and verse 11 says the way of wisdom. In Psalm 119, that long chapter of the Bible, it talks about the way of your testimonies, the way of your precepts, the way of your commandments, the way of your statutes, the way of your truth. And Jeremiah, who authored that psalm, he said, I'm just meditating on that way all the time, day and night. I love it. I love the way of love. I love God's law. It's holy, it's just, it's perfect, it's righteous. Read Romans 7 and verse 12 sometime and see what God thinks about his law. It's not quite what so many preachers of this world think. They look at the law as something that's done away, that's outdated, it's unnecessary. Well, we're living in a lawless world, and religion has done very little to even resist against this lawless turn away from God. I mean, we are so far removed from God and his authority, his instructions, his commandments. Notice Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. It says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. So here we talk about the way of man. And what way is man going? Well, look at the world sometime. Jesus even said, you know, watch and pray always. He talked about some very sobering events, terrifying events happening just before Jesus returns to this earth, as he said he would in John 14. He says, the way of man, it's not in himself. God made us. God created us. And if we're apart from God, if we're going through life, you know, with fatherlessness, spiritually speaking, then we're not going to know the way to go. God has to show us. God has to guide our steps. I mean, this passage in Jeremiah is saying that we're incapable of guiding our lives without the daily instruction coming from our loving Father in heaven. The father is the head of the family spiritually. And so he's guiding this family. He's giving us instructions. And so even so many of God's people have turned against God and have become rebellious children. Just like it says in Isaiah chapter 1, they don't know their father. They've gotten so far away from God. They can't find the way back. Verse 24, it says, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Jeremiah the prophet, I mean, he understood that he needed God's correction. He understood that he needed God to restrain him at times, to give him advice and counsel, direction, guidance, instruction. He went to God for that because he knew that his heart was desperately wicked and deceitful. Read Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. In 1 Kings, I think it is, it talks about the plague of the human heart. Paul said in Romans 7, in me dwells no good thing. I mean, think about that. No good thing. We need God. We need correction. We need repentance. We need to turn to God in repentance and faith. And Jesus Christ shows us the way. Not that he repented. He was perfect, but he was learning and growing. The book of Hebrews brings this out. He had the Spirit of God from birth, but outside of that difference, I mean, he was 100% flesh and blood. And then when you look into the Gospels and you see, and we'll get into this in future programs, but when you see how he just pleaded with God and got up a great while before day and went off and prayed for hours, and how he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he's crucified, just constantly looking to the Father, drawing on the power of the Father of the family, Father, Son, family, marriage, the church, Mary and Christ. He had the God family vision for sure. I am the way, he said in John 14, in the Seven Laws of Success booklet. We have that too in our library. All the literature that we offer on this program is offered without cost or obligation. We give it away freely. But in the Seven Laws of Success, it says the all-important seventh law of success is having contact with and the guidance and the continuous help of God. You'll have to request the booklet to study into the first six laws. I don't have time to get into all of them here. But just know that the all-important seventh law is having that contact with God, that continuous guidance and help from God. We need it. We need the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5, we've got to let it in. John 6 talks about Jesus being the bread of life. We have to consume Christ. We have to eat that spiritual bread, that spiritual drink. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you've got to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, for the right way of living. Jesus also said he's the light of the world. We need light. We need the light of Jesus Christ in our lives. You can see more about that in John 3. He said in John 10, I'm the door. In the same chapter, he says, I'm the shepherd. He's looking after the sheep. The sheep need a shepherd to survive, to be given direction from. He said, I'm the resurrection. I am the life. And of course, we read John 14 and verse 6 already. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. We've got to go through Jesus Christ, and he will lead us into the coming kingdom of God, into God's family. Listen again to Herbert Armstrong in one of his old radio programs, clip 2.
The young man said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Did Jesus say do nothing? Just believe with an empty faith and do nothing? Did Jesus say there's nothing for you to do? It's all going to be done for you by me on the cross. No, Jesus Christ told him the way to eternal life. He told him the way to gain salvation and eternal life. He said, if thou wilt enter into life. Does this apply to you and to me today? Or was Jesus preaching lies? Or was he preaching something temporary? Has he changed? Or is he the same today as when he uttered these words? If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Do you believe that, my friends? Do the preachers believe it today? I can answer, no, they don't. They're preaching another Jesus than the Jesus that I've been telling you about. If you'll open your Bible and if you'll blow the dust off of it, my friends, you'll find that Jesus Christ that kept his Father's commandments, that told you that the way to eternal life, there is something for you to do.
There definitely is something for us to do. It doesn't mean that the Bible teaching is that we can earn salvation. It's given by God's grace, a gift. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of eternal life is from God. I mean, God gives it as a gift. We don't deserve it. But when we come out of this world, when we repent and believe, and when we're baptized and we receive the Spirit of God, then we go forward with Christ. We come out of sin. And when we stumble, we get up and we keep going forward. In other words, there is something that we must do. As you heard Mr. Armstrong say there, he started that clip by talking about Matthew 19, where the young man comes to Christ and says, good master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? And like Mr. Armstrong asked there, I mean, why are there so many preachers that conclude that, well, you do nothing. Well, why didn't Jesus say that then? He didn't say that. He said, keep the commandments. And then he listed out many of the commandments. And this young man was confident and he thought, well, I'm obeying those commands. And Christ said, all right, then go and sell everything that you have. Give up everything in this world and come and follow me. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He went away sorrowful. And then the disciples with Christ marveled. And they said, well, if this young, impressive, you know, pious individual can't follow Jesus, who can? And what did Jesus say? Christ beheld them. This is Matthew 19 and verse 26. He beheld them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It takes the power of God working in our lives for us to obey the way that Jesus did. It takes a miracle, and it also takes a willingness and a submission and a surrendered spirit on our part to just let God have his way with our lives. To let God show us the way, to show us the steps, to guide our steps. John 14:6, again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Continuing on, verse 7 says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. I mean, Christ is saying, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I live the way God the Father does. The Father is in me. And God says he wants Christ to be in us, to let the mind of Christ in. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's everything. It says in verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how say you then? Show us the Father. I mean, this is such a profound verse. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus Christ came to this earth. The Word came in the flesh. That's John 1. That's discussed in this booklet. John's gospel, the love of God. He came in the flesh and set us a perfect example, never insisting on doing things his own way. He just wanted to replicate God the Father's lifestyle. He just came to this earth and lived the way of the Father. He looked to the Father. He submitted to the Father. And what, as I say, what a profound verse. He says to Philip, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. You can see why there's so many other verses in the Gospels even about us setting an example or letting our lights shine. Because if we're living a righteous way of life, if we're living like Jesus Christ, then that sets a good example. It's a light to this world. We have to see and experience the life of Christ. Learn it, live it, follow it. Verse 10 says, believe you not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He doeth the works. All of those miracles, all of that supernatural power, it came from God the Father. Verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Look at the fruits. God the Father was dwelling in Christ. I mean, it's incredible. Jesus was the most profound leader or teacher, master ever to walk this earth because he was so submissive to God the Father. Jesus followed God the Father. And he says to you, he says to me, he says to true disciples of Christ, now you follow in my steps. Most are just not willing to do that. Most people in this world. Most are like that young man that went away sorrowful. Will you go away sorrowful? Or will you just let go of everything that this world has to offer and say, I want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ? That's all we have time for on today's show. We certainly appreciate you joining us and hope that you'll join us again next time.
When Christ was on earth, he probably spent more time with John than any other apostle. This experience gave John unique insight into the depth and glory of God's master plan. Only John wrote about the mighty I am and who he really was, the resurrection of Lazarus and how it relates to your incredible human potential, the Samaritan woman and what she means for the world. John also showed why Christ's sacrifice should inspire us forever. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, John's Gospel, The Love of God, to grasp these foundational spiritual subjects. Unlock the abundant life that God is offering to a select few people today. Discover how to be faithful, joyful, and full of love like Jesus is by following the example that the captain of our salvation set during his physical life. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request our free booklet, John's Gospel, The Love of God. Order now.